So you probably all know that, I don't know, you guys prayed for us already and we're still here. So basically what happened was that Sunday, someone came up to Jonty and said that he was praying for him and God told him to give him something. And it was a lot of money, that same amount we needed to rebook our flats and change them. Amazing, because we, on that Sunday, we still believed that we were going. And but then we found out that our recruiter was just not really good at his job. It wasn't a scam. He just sucked at doing what he was meant to do. And he just stopped communicating with us. So we just never heard back from him again. And we still haven't heard from him. He could be dead. I honestly don't know. But on the Thursday, we rebooked our flats for the 3rd of March. My first thing was, oh my goodness, Jonty doesn't have work for a month. I mean, like, that's obvious, like, that is normal. But that night, we go and hang out with some friends, and Jonty gets, this guy says to Jonty, I've taken on too much work, please can you help me, and we'll split the salary completely. Like, it's just been so, in the normal, in the natural, it's been completely chaotic, stressful, and just, like raucous. But in the spirit, God has been so still and so calm. And because we are so out of control, everything is just in control. It's just, God is a bit like, his ways are twisted, but they're not. I don't know, it's weird. And then the other day, someone said to me, can I have your banking details? So I was like, okay. And so I'm sure this was him. And he put some money into my account. So I thought it was, oh, yay, God, thank you, money for rent for in China. But it actually wasn't. It was for my wedding dress. Yeah, Daddy God is paying for my wedding dress. How cool is that? So that's why we're still here, because God said, wait.
So God's twisted and wants to give you lots of money. That's awesome. I always knew that about God, really. Just. And if anybody would like my bank account details, I'll gladly give you them as well. That's awesome. So we just hope that when you go to China, you're just going to go and just be totally irreligious. Will you promise us you will not be religious at all? Okay, promise us. Do us a favor. Do God a favor, which would be wonderful. Okay, it's that wonderful time again where you guys are going to give lots of cash. No, you didn't hear me right. Lots of cash. We've instructed the guys that if no one puts any in, they're just going to hover the basket there and just wait to see what happens. So this whole process might take a while, okay? So the people with the nose bags, can you just come here? Come out the front? These do look like nose bags, I have to say. I don't know. Couple things that I've been asked to just talk about. So apparently you guys always have to come and stand here for lengthy, long periods of time. So I thought I'd continue the tradition, just so you know. Okay, a couple things about the new covenant. We did this whole talk about finances a while ago, and we talked about this question of where does tithing fit in, carrying over from the old covenant to the new? And there's lots of discussion and debate. But this is the things that we do know about the New Testament, is that the New Testament functioned on a basis of when needs were told, the churches would respond to the needs. So the giving in the New Testament, far beyond that of regular giving, was always put in the context of need. So give you a couple examples. There was a famine coming in Jerusalem, and so the church in Thessalonica took up an offering far beyond what they're able to, and they gave that need or that money to a specific need in Jerusalem. And then when there was another need, the need was made known, and people would collect money, and they'd bring it. But here's the big thing, and I'm not talking on money today, so relax. The big thing that made the church stand out, or these so-called Christians, followers of Jesus, was that there were, and I love this phrase, there were no needs among them. Now that, if you want to know if we're making it or not, just ask the question, are there still needs among us? And if there are, we are still not making it yet. So I'm going to do two things this morning, because Steve's not here, and I never have to preach again, so it's fine. If you have a need, will you stand up? A financial need, just stand up right where you are. No needs? Okay, now, just good. You have your chance. That's it. No more standing. If you have more than enough in your bank account right now, have a look, because these are the people you need to give to today. Why are you laughing? Because that is exactly what the New Testament church did. Have a good look at them, and I want you to go to them and give them a gift. It's that simple. There were no needs among them. So if you have a need, guys, you are declaring your need. Wave your hands, make sure everyone can see you. There you go. Everyone can see that? Who provides their needs? No. You do. God uses you to provide their needs. Do you understand? Grab a seat. Secondly, second need we have is that this church has been hit with two major bills. The first is a 36,000, 35,000 rand financial audit, which has to take place. And we don't have the cash for that. We need to find the cash to pay that off. Secondly, there is a 12,000 rand need to get our aircons, the insurance paid, and put some cages around it so that the insurance company will continue to insure it thereafter. How many of you like to be comfortable in church? Hopefully none of you like to be comfortable in church. Who would like to have the aircons working? Well, if you don't find 12 grand by this week, we're going to be in trouble. So, how does the early church work? If there are needs, we meet them, correct? So let's find whatever that is. My brain's not working. 47,000 rand today. Can we do that? Okay. Guys, go for it. And don't forget, if no one puts anything in, just hover. Just hover around. Megan, up to you.
Hi. You'll see on the bulletin there's a notice for a prophetic art workshop. Janet wants to get a team of artists together who will actually be on duty every Sunday, you know, have their time slot, their specific day, to do prophetic art while either the worship or the whole service is going on. And we're holding a workshop just to help springboard it. And the idea of prophetic art is that it's not something airy-fairy where you hope for inspiration and stand in front of your canvas and hope that the Holy Spirit is now mysteriously going to... So this sounds very... I'm not used to this. Is this all right? I mean, the whole microphone thing. Okay, all right. I'm a painter, not a speaker. it's not this mysterious thing where the Holy Spirit will take hold of your hand and take over your inspiration and you'll come up with this artwork that you even wonder where it came from. And it's just like the musicians know that they're going to be on duty, they've prepared, they've practiced, they know what music they're going to be playing. It'll be the same thing, that you'll know you're going to be on duty, you'll prepare, you will come to church with your materials, with your source material, whatever image you want to work from. And so just to help get that off the ground, we're holding a workshop where we'll do a couple of exercises looking at, the word's gone, symbolic visual language and how there's this understanding that we subconsciously read into artworks. And just different exercises like that. Not an art lesson as such, but just to help springboard that prophetic creativity. And it's free of charge, so everyone's welcome, even if you don't think you're an artist, even if you don't know if you want to get involved with the prophetic art, if you want to find out if you're interested. And by coming to the workshop, you won't then be obligated to get up in front of the church and produce an artwork. It'll be totally up to you when you feel you're ready for it. Because I know there are a few people who are interested, but it's like they're waiting to see what everyone else is doing. before they commit themselves. So this is just a safe forum where we can experiment with no criticism, no expectations. So please, if you're interested in that, please give either Janet or myself a call. Both our numbers are on the bulletin, and that will take place on the 14th of March at 2 o'clock, Saturday afternoon. Okay.
Fantastic, Megan. Give her a round of applause. That was fantastic. So one of the things you probably noticed, Janet was up here the other day painting on the stage, and one of the visions that we're going to talk about, that this morning we're going to talk about worship, is that worship is so much more than just playing an instrument. And so one of the pictures that we've had is that we want to have artists on both sides of the stage painting large pictures, and we want to have poets, I'm going to get well ahead of my preach, but we want to have poets writing poetry live in the meetings and then reading that at the end of those. And you'll be amazed, those who view, anybody here who's an engineer, any engineers here? A couple of you? Do you know God can give you winning formulas and structural equations and mathematical equations in the midst of worship for those things? Some of the best inventions have happened through God-inspired ideas. So even if you're an engineer and you don't do anything remotely arty, you still can engage with God today. He'll just give you a pen and paper and a formula. Pythagoras will never look the same to you again. And those who don't know who Pythagoras is, he's a little Greek guy who owns a chip shop. So, this morning, Steve is away at Salt Rock, Salt Lake, or something salty on the north coast at a church. And I think Terry and some of the guys are there with him. So he wanted to make sure that he's not bunking off or skiving. Do you know what the worst thing is about a pastor that skives off to go and play golf? That he's going to get the best golf swings ever because he just can't come back and tell anybody. It's kind of like God's warped sense of humor, that. But anyway, he wanted to know that he is actually in church and he is working for his money. So he wanted you all to be happy about that today. Okay, I'm in a very jovial mood. I'll have to watch myself. Right. This morning we want to talk about what does New Testament worship look like. Now, I'm going to be a little bit naughty. I hope you can forgive me. But I want to read a quote. And from that, you'll see where I'm going. And it says this in this quote. The image of much of contemporary Christianity can be summarized, it's a bit euphemistically, as holy people coming regularly to a holy place at a holy day at a holy hour to participate in a holy ritual led by a holy man dressed in holy clothes against a holy fee. But for 95%, if not more, maybe hazard a guess, 99% of Christians today around the world, this is quite true. They come to a holy, the word holy means separated or specifically purposed for. They come to a purposed for building on a specific time at a specific day, to do a specific thing with a specific crowd, with led by a specific person. And most of us have subscribed to that most of our lives. Would you agree? But the question is does that reflect New Testament worship? Does that reflect New Testament theology or Christology or ecclesiology or any ology? Come to that. Well, let's have a look between the Old and the New Covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a special place, and it was called the temple, correct? And the temple was very highly organized. You come through the gates of praise into the sanctuary, and then so on and so on, to get to the Holy of Holies. And at each one of those levels, you had to have gained a certain level of righteousness in order to get through. Until you get to the Holy of Holies, where they had bells on the bottom of the dresses of the priests, so if the bell stopped, they could pull him out, because obviously he hadn't prayed enough and God struck him dead. That is exactly what used to happen. And then, of course, all the worship and everything that happened was led by a very small few who stood on a stage. And they were called priests. And what took place was pretty much the same thing every time you pitched up. You'd go through the same performance every time, or the same ritual, so there would be no surprises. You know what exactly is going to happen. And then in the Old Testament, everything was divided up into what is secular and what is sacred. Well, secular, that's not holy, and this is holy. Beatles, not holy. Hillsong, holy. And this was the backdrop from which Jesus comes into history. Cunning! This whole temple, this whole ceremony, this whole ritual was all about God demonstrating holiness, and it was all based in fear. Fear that if we don't appease God somehow, we will be destroyed, or he won't forgive our sin, or the crops will wither, or whatever it may be. And this was the backdrop of what the Jewish people would do regularly all the time. My question before I go to my second list is, what exactly has changed? I don't think much has changed at all. We still come to a special place, and it's quite organized. Let me tell you, not much has changed in the last 2 years. We arrive, the band plays, we do some announcements, someone preaches, and we go home. Has that changed much? Would you say that's quite organized? And of what percentage of the people actually stand on the stage? 1%? Actually less than the Old Testament. How am I doing? The question is, what's changed? Now you're getting very uncomfortable, aren't you? You wish Steve was back. Well, let's look at the New Testament, and then I'll come back to explain why this is not all that bad, really, but we'll get there. In the New Covenant, where is the temple now? Take your pointing finger, point to yourself and say, I am part of the temple. And then take your other finger and look around, do this, and say, we are the temple. You are a brick in the wall of the temple, but you're also the temple. You're fully the temple and part of the temple. So everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. Remember that song we sang a while ago? The fact is that you are a walking temple. The temple went mobile. So in your car, in pick and pay, at work, on the beachfront, wherever it is, wherever you go, the temple goes with you. You've become snails. And the kind of worship that starts to happen where the temple goes everywhere is one of spontaneity. It's spontaneous. There's something that goes, pwah! There's something that just comes over you. Have you ever been in a car and something just came over you and you go, shikara babaka sinde? And normally you looked around and there's someone looking at you. Those spontaneous moments when you've got your headphones on, you think no one's listening in the office, you'll go, glory. There are moments of spontaneity that come on us and should be part of us, because that's what happens when you are in the temple 24/7. You're in God's presence all the time. You remember, we talked about God doesn't, it isn't that Cliff Richard song, From a Distance. He's not from a distance. He's with you, he's in you, and he ain't going away. Wherever you go, whatever you do. The worship in the New Testament is led by whom? The Holy Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit live? In whom? Everyone. So who leads the meeting? We do. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at that in a moment. So who are the priests in the New Covenant? We all are. The next part of worship we know in the New Covenant is it's varied and expressive. It changes and it's not predictable. Now, a thing I love about this church and our church and worship is it is varied and expressive. Fantastic. 10 out of 10. And the wonderful thing about the New Covenant is this. All things got redeemed. Beatles and Hillsong in the same place. I just love the Sally Army. Who was the guy who led Sally Army, Salvation Army? It's gone out my head. Booth. Booth would go into the pubs and he'd hear them singing songs. He'd go, that's a really cool song. Next Sunday morning, what song do you reckon they're singing? The same songs, just with a slight alteration on the words. How would you feel if next week we came in singing some U2, some Script, some Beatles? He loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves you. You see, you even know the words. And anyone that's not used to church could come in and they would know the words. That is New Testament worship, people. So my question is, how do we have both of these things happening? Is there a place for coming together once a week and worshiping? Is there a place for that? Well, I think there is a place for that. But it's just a place. It's not the place. Are you hearing me? We don't come for a time of worship. No, we are worship, and we'll get that. We don't come to worship God. We are worshiping God. What we do is we come together to make a bigger noise than we can on our own. How cool is that? We come together so that everyone around us can hear us going, Yahoo! We'll get there. You're warming up. You're warming up. So, New Testament worship. I love this word. The Ruach of God. It's not Afrikaans. Although Rhoda would definitely roll her R's on that one, I'm sure. See, the Hebrew people had this saying. They didn't call the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. They called him the Ruach, or the breath, or the wind, or the presence of God. And the Spirit, the presence of the divine, here and now, at all times of all men. That's literally what that Hebrew word means. When we say Ruach, it means, look, the Spirit and the presence of the divine is here and now and with us and with all people now. That's the Ruach of God. So it's the Ruach that is in us, but it's also the Ruach that comes when we're all here. It's the presence of God, the Ruach. I love the word Ruach. David says in a prayer, where can I go from your presence? So when Jesus talks about the body and blood, he's not talking about something abstract. He's talking about our growing awareness of the presence of the divine in every moment. Worship isn't coming in out of the world to a place where God uniquely lives. Worship is our growing awareness of God's presence in all of our lives. It isn't hiding, come away from the world, that we might be with him. It's just getting together so we can make a louder noise. So worship is no longer about a place, a time, a song, but it's about being you. You are worship. So if you're a poet, you worship by poetry. If you're an artist, you worship through art. If you're a singer, you worship singing. If you're an engineer, you worship through engineering. If you're a baker, you worship by baking. Who gave you all these gifts? And those gifts are given to you that who may get the glory. This is not just about musicians. Are you with me? So if you're a great baker, you should be bringing your cakes on Sunday morning as worship to God. And we should be enjoying your worship greatly. And if you're a seamstress, you should be making great-looking garments so we can enjoy those great garments. Should be like a fashion parade around here. That's why we come together. We come together to bring all the unique gifts that we have to show off. Who are we showing off to? God! This is the Sunday to show off. If you play the piano, play it with all your might. Don't play 3 chords. Play 10. Show off. Because who gets the glory? God is the only one that gave it to you. You can't do a stitch on your own. Are you with me? New Testament, what is New Testament worship? Read this with me on the screen if you can. I find Jesus, I love this quote. I pulled it off the net. And I just love the way this guy's heart is. I find Jesus in academic work. I find him in research and questions. I connect with God when I wrestle with logic. I regularly thank him that he created me to try to find different answers to problems and see situations differently than those around me. There are a million different ways to spend time with God, to hear his voice, to draw near to him. Sometimes I feel like I'm worshiping deeply when I'm talking to people about boring stuff or taboo stuff or, well, anything really. I find the joy and peace of Jesus when I work with college students and help them find jobs or when I help them believe in themselves. Some people hear the voice of God when they run. That one I just can't understand, really. I only run when someone's chasing me. Others worship deeply by playing with their children. We have to get used to the idea that there are a million different ways to spend time with God, to hear his voice, and to draw near to him. Let me speak to a group of people that never get spoken to in church. It's you melancholy-type engineering blokes, or ladies, maybe, who the idea of coming to church and standing for 45 minutes and singing is just so a million miles away from you, you don't even know why you do this. And that is absolutely legitimate. You're not wired that way. And it's perfectly okay for you to come to church with your Excel spreadsheet and sit there and worship God. Because that's the gifts you have. And it's okay if you find singing for 45 minutes totally boring. It's all right. But just find something that isn't boring that connects you with God when you're amongst us. How cool is that? Suddenly a whole bunch of guys are going, oh. Because somehow we've made worship all about the singing and the emotion and stuff. And there's only so many rock concerts you can go to. So I just love this. Finding God, connecting with God wherever you are, whatever you do, having a conversation. I've got a group of friends that we sit around our fire pit and we drink wine. And after drinking wine, we talk about lots of really interesting topics. And I hear God's voice greatly in those times. I hear God's voice coming out of my friends' mouths. Do you ever hear that? It's worship. It's worship. I love this picture. I've used it before. Spontaneous rhythms rather than prescribed patterns. This is the New Testament worship. Love this passage in Matthew. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burnt out in religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and walk and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many want that? So worship then is simply this. When we laugh, when we cry, when we feel for others, when we create, when we work, when we sing, when we dance, when we romance, when we love our kids, when we tip the waiter, when we love the stranger, when we gaze at creation, those things is New Covenant worship. And when we come together, we just do that a lot louder. But let me speak for a few moments about our gathering here. In the New Testament, they have a portion called 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, and 14. Anyone read those scriptures? You'll know it well, ladies, because in 1 Corinthians 14, the word clearly says women should be silent in church, and if they have a question, they should ask their husbands afterwards. It is amazing, though, that for some reason that piece of scripture is contextualized, but nothing else is. But anyway, moving on. Obviously, it's okay to disobey that part of the scripture. That's all right. I'm being naughty. The description of the church, though, in Corinth is this loud, raucous mess. He talks about the fact that when they come, this is what Greeks do, of course. If you've ever been to a Greek wedding times 100 on the Holy Spirit, it's kind of what you're looking at here. So you've got these big Greek mamas who are all prophesying over the top of each other, getting louder and louder and louder. You've got dancers dancing, artists trying to paint around them, people speaking in tongues, the band playing three songs at the same time. How wonderful does that sound? There's this wonderful picture of this like Greek wedding chaotic thing that they're calling church. And then he talks about breaking bread, and he says, I've got this problem. When you break bread, you eat so much, you throw up. That is so far beyond a sip and a dip. Their breaking of bread was like a huge feast, because somehow they understood that if your gift of cooking was to cook, you brought your gift. And they said, but wait, rather wait one for another and eat together. And if you're going to get drunk, don't do it in church. Wouldn't you love someone to say that to you? That's what Paul's saying to the church in Corinth. If you're going to get drunk, don't do it in church. How far have we come from that? You see, the reason he put in that I want that you, when you prophesy three times, and I want that you do it in order, the reason he's doing that is because we have a problem, Houston. Church is just far too wild. I really don't think Paul would ever have to write to us about that. But perhaps he should. Maybe we should at least give him a reason to consider writing about our wildness. Perhaps we should at least have it somewhere on his radar that somehow 1 Corinthians 14 might just be something we should look at once in a while. That perhaps we should make all the artists now, all 15 of them, spray painting on the walls whilst the bakers are baking and the poets are poetrying and the engineers are coming up with complicated formulas. The musicians are singing. The prophets are prophesying. People are speaking in tongues. There's chaos. People are dancing all over the place. And the only person seemingly in control is the Holy Spirit. How far have we removed ourselves from New Covenant worship? But now we come to a holy place at a holy time with holy songs in a holy way, and pretty much it's the same every week. So who wants a messy church? Mess is good. Mess is good. Say after me, mess is good. Mess is good. Say it again. Mess is good. We're good. Highway Community Church, a place where mess is good. Anyone read the book The Shack? I love the picture. It talks about the Holy Spirit. What's it called? Sabania or something. Funny name for the Holy Spirit. Who? That's the wrong book, bud. Anyway, I'll come back to you now. Holy Spirit, stop heckling me. The Holy Spirit is given this special name. It starts with S, and someone will find it for me. I'm sure we're Googling madly here. And he talks about the Holy Spirit as this kind of wispy thing that's full of light, and suddenly you get a flash of color, and then it does this, and then there's a sound of thunder. What picture do you have of the Holy Spirit? Have you thought about that? How do I see the Holy Spirit? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Ooh, hang on. Not quite sure if I thought about that. This force, this power, this light, this brightness. The Holy Spirit in the book or The Shack is totally spontaneous, and you can't quite get hold of him. That's why we think he's probably female, because you think you get him understanding here, and it changes. Anyway, I'm not going there. That's dangerous. I'm moving backwards fast. I want you to understand, though, this morning, we had four prophetic words this morning. Can anyone remember what they were about? Forests. Say again. Apricots. Someone was hungry. Seed. Rain. Trees. Water. pips for replanting. Now, do we believe Jesus, by the way, the Holy Spirit gave that to us today? So what's happening here? You see, nobody in the New Testament hears from God in isolation. Everything about the new covenant is community. You hear from God together. You don't go up to the mountain and get the whole revelation and bring it down. You go to the mountain and get some of the revelation, and you share it, and others participate. And so I call it the patchwork quilt. What's supposed to happen in our gatherings is as you bring all of these different images and pictures and sounds and tastes and smells and wells together, then at the end of the meeting, we go, so what is God saying? Because not one of those pictures was true in isolation, but they're all true when they're put together. Do you see this? So when the church came together, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, I love this, what then shall we say when we get together? Each of you comes with a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation, and everything must be done to build the body up. So the picture we have of the New Testament is that when you come with something to give. Do you see this? You don't come to receive, you actually come to give. And this is what led to the chaotic church. Don't you love that? Because they all caught this, that they all got to give. And Paul's just saying, come to give, but let's just do it one at a time. But where did you come down the driveway today going, what have I got to give? You've been taught that you come to church to receive. It is old covenant rubbish. You didn't come to receive, you came to give. And as you give, what do you get? You receive. And what do you come to bring? All the gifts and talents that God's put in you. If it's baking, bake. If it's cooking, cook. If it's generosity, if it's money, give. Do you see how we're doing this? Some of you are looking at me like I should be shot. So finally, we've got to look at this. What does the New Covenant Church look like? It's a patchwork quilt. So that what we do is we listen to all the words and we say, this morning, this is what the Holy Spirit says to you. That if you've been feeling dry, he's going to bring water. And what is he going to water? He's going to water the seeds that have been lying dormant. And someone else is going to come and interrupt me right now.
Okay. So this is awesome because messy. Like, I totally want to get messy. And God showed me in the beginning of the church, and I really wanted to do it, and I even told Donna, and Donna was like, there's not enough black people. Because they love to get messy, and they know how to worship God. Like, let's do it with, like, come. Okay, so this is what I thought would be really cool. Okay. That cool song. Oh, 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 what? Da, 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 da. And then I just saw the church skipping around the building. Skipping around the building. How much fun can we do that? Can we do that? My messy worship is good ideas.
So, everyone on their feet. Okay, this is a good moment. Okay, so, you might think this is just a stupid thing to do. This has to be a God moment, right? So something's going to break while you skip around the building. Is that right? But he who has the vision is going to lead this thing, right? Yeah. Okay. So what you're going to do, come here. This is completely ruined my preach, but what the heck. Okay, so what you're going to do, you're going to take the mic and you're going to sing, okay? And you're going to go this way around the building. And as you go past them, they're all going to file out and dance behind you, okay? But you're not going to kind of go, I can't wait for Steve to come back. He'd never have done this. All right. So we're going to sing that song once through, and then we're going to come back to my preach, okay? Settle in. It's going to be a long morning. Are you ready? Oh, Now we're going to do that again in a minute, but find a seat. Yes. Okay, if you've got a roast in the oven, just thank God for burnt offerings. Yeah, why don't you sit in a different seat? That might help. Anybody seen Dead Poets Society? So remember the name of the teacher at Dead Poets Society? Yeah. Rob Williams, that was the actor, but it's close. So he comes in and he says to them, I want you all to stand on your desks. And the look in the children's eyes was the same as I saw in some of you. You want me to do what? But what we have just done is physically demonstrated what should take place every single time we come together. It may be this week running around the building. It may be next week lying on the floor. It may be no chairs one week. Maybe no music. It may be, but it needs to be spontaneous and various and different and live and most of all, very messy. You see, the early church knew that when they came to a gathered session, they came because they were all priests. They all hear from God. They all know God. There's not one more professional than the other. They all came because they had something to give. I love the fact that you felt the liberty to come up here and say, God's twisted and wants to give us lots of money, and he wants to tell us to dance around the room. You just can't go to China. China. Would you say these words after me? Everyone, all, one another. The new covenant is not about a few doing it and you watching it. It's about all of us being it. It's about Dom standing here and you pushing him, saying, go for it, Dom. Be louder, be wilder. We're with you. Let's dance around this thing. It can't be about Dom saying, come on, please help me. If we coming, I want to read a quote, and this is just wonderful because I'm not going to do anything now other than read this quote. What is worship? Worship that only stays on the happy surface does a wonderful job of entertaining people into forgetting about their actual lives. But it only tells half the story. And after church, people return to the complexity of reality without actual tools to engage in honesty with God. And this is so very unhelpful. On the other hand, worship that creates a safe place for people to honestly face both their joy and pain while inviting God and the community to walk with them in healing, mourning, hoping, celebrating is something entirely different and desperately needed. This is the place to mourn, to cry, to dance, to joke, to celebrate, to let God touch the deep parts of you. And sometimes those things can only happen in a gathering where there are others around us, because that's why we need to do this. We don't do this now because of a ritual or a command, but we come together so that we can touch him and one another. If you feel in isolation this morning, if you walk out with no one speaking to you or not feeling someone's connected to you in some way, then we have all failed you. If you feel like you couldn't cry and you came in deep sorrow, we have failed you. If we can't embrace the prophetic to go and dance around the room because somehow this just ain't right, we have failed you. The new covenant worship is about us with him collectively enjoying us with him. Let's stand. And we're going to do that song again in a moment. But we also need to understand that God wants to do some deep stuff. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for me. And the reason we do that is it helps us to be present in the now. want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to let the Ruach of God just come into you right now. Let the Ruach of God, the spontaneous, the creative, the expressive, the undefinable, let the Ruach of God come. Breathe Him in deeply. Let the sloppy wet kiss be placed on you. Put your hand, if you need, on your stomach and let deep cry out to deep. Wherever you are this morning, we invite you to be you right now. We invite you to mourn, to cry, to jump, to celebrate, to be joyous. We invite you to dig deep into your realm of your being and be you right now. We invite you to do it publicly with us that we may embrace you. If you feel like crying and there are others around you, we will love on you right now. If you feel like dancing, we will dance with you. If you feel like being joyful, we'll just laugh and we may not even get the joke. If you just need to be at peace, you can just lie on the floor now. We are with you, with Him, worshiping. That is New Covenant worship. Oh, how He loves us.
Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us.
Just let Him touch you for a moment. Just let Him deep cry that to deep. Let that touch you.
Yes, He loves us. Oh, how
just let Him touch you. Touch you in your deep place. Jesus, a round of applause and just thank Him this morning. So this morning, in summary, church is a messy place, filled with messy lives, with a God that's totally in control. Church is a place where we unashamedly let our emotions out, even if we don't think we have any. It's a church where we're free to bring cakes and clothing, and dancing, and music, and poetry, and songs. It's a church where it's okay to dance even very badly. It's a church where there are no needs among them. It's a church where we have no problem telling you that we have a need. It's a church where we know we go out the door, not everything's fixed, but at least I know that there are 300 people who do love me. And so we're going to go out doing a dance, because that's what we're going to do. So if you feel like dancing, we hope that you feel like dancing at the end of this, and we're going to sing this song together, and then let's just have to see what our Lord wants to do.
We sing. Oh, 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 oh.